touch that dial. You're exactly where you want to be. You've landed in Juicebox Radio on CITR 101.9 FM. Or maybe you're one of our online listeners at CITR.ca. If you ever miss a show, you can download our podcast at juiceboxradio.com.
Oh, however you got to be here, we're glad to have you. Tonight's show is all about burlesque and a candid interview with wife and husband team Melody Mangler and Norm Elmore of Screaming Chicken Theatrical Society. Screaming Chicken is a not-for-profit theater burlesque company specializing in, this is the part I like, pushing the boundaries of modern theater. Right up our alley, don't
you think? It's totally up our alley.
And we're going to be taking calls tonight, so feel free to call in and contribute to the conversation we're going to be having. Do call at 604-822-2487. And we also have a bit of a surprise over the hour for you listeners. Hopefully Donnie Fergal will remember to call in. But I caught a really cool comedy show last night called It's Good to Know People. And it's this really hilarious variety show for people who love people. And it's like, I don't know, I love it. I love the show.
What was it about?
Well, last night was a variety show on all kinds of things, and I'm not going to get into what it's about because it's always so different every week, every month.
Nice.
But it's the last Tuesday of every month. Anyway, I was on it. I was on the show interviewing Chris Weston and Beverly Pocock about their sexuality, which they were both very afraid of. But close to the end, Donnie Fergal, who's also part of their crew, kind of shared this piece of kind of spring poetry. And I asked him after the show if he'd call in to perform. It's a very short piece, about 8 minutes or something. Okay. And it's all about spring fever. And I thought, you know, just for Juicebox, it is our first show of the spring season. So I thought a little spring fever poem by Donnie Fergal of It's Good to Know People. Not a bad way to do that. So celebrate that. Anyway, but we're really here mostly to talk to Melody and Norm. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for coming out tonight.
Thanks for having us.
So, Norm, you are the executive director, the producer, the promoter, publicist, writer, etc. That's what it says on the That's a lot, dude. You got a lot going on. You also gave Juicebox the press passes for the International Burlesque Festival. So we
thank you.
And thank you. We can thank you in person now, finally.
You're very welcome.
And Melody, I don't know, you created this society with Norm. I think I understand that. But what is your role besides fabulous performer?
I often direct a lot of the shows. I'm officially artistic director of Screaming Chicken.
Okay.
You know, I kind of guide the ship.
Right.
And, well, of course, I teach Becoming Burlesque.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm head choreographer for a lot of our productions, a lot of our group numbers you'll see.
And also looking incredibly fabulous. I watched her walking down the street a couple of days ago on Commercial Drive. I was having sushi, and I watched this incredible hot woman walk down the street with these red flowers and her beautiful updo, and I'm like, who is that? She looks really like a burlesque dancer. I was like, that's amazing. Anyway, so I just met Melody Mangler tonight for the first time visually, and I was like, hey, I saw you walking down Commercial Drive. That was really cool. All right, so I think tonight we want to talk a little bit about burlesque first, and then we're going to talk about you two.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay? Cool? Does that sound okay?
That's awesome.
Sounds good.
Right. So first of all, well, how would you guys describe burlesque? That's a big question.
That's a very big question.
Judging by your reaction.
Well, I think you can start with the literal definition, to paraphrase Webster's Dictionary. Burlesque means to make fun of, generally by making a light of a serious subject or making serious of a light subject. It's also described as a show, a variety show that typified by lewd acts and dirty comedy and striptease. So I think that really encompasses burlesque in its whole. I think the making light of a serious subject is often sex.
Okay.
And all the stigmas that come with that.
Which there's a lot. It gives you a multitude of things to play with.
Very true.
Absolutely.
And how would you guys describe burlesque in your own words?
Well, Norm, you just kind of stand.
More or less.
Melody, do you have a way that you would sort of, if somebody just came up to you on the street and said, well, what is burlesque? What do you mean?
Like, what is your, what kind of shows do you do?
What do we do with Screaming Chicken? I think we just go, we really just play with all the roles in society. We have fun. We like to turn it upside down. We like to gross people out. We like to, you know, make things a bit weird. We like, you know, like an Orgy of the Dead. You have girls, hot girls, getting naked, but they're also pulling out their intestines and using them like boas. I think just turning things kind of upside down like that. I think is our version of burlesque.
Which is Screaming Chicken's version of
Screaming Chicken's version of burlesque.
Okay, I have this, like I said in the hallway, I think this interview is going to be sort of tossed up in the air in some ways, because I mean, Melody Mangler was on Juicebox before, mm-hmm. when we reviewed
Had Teddy Smooth and about the International Burlesque Festival.
So one of the things that Melody said was Screaming Chicken was this private joke. And so, of course, we want to know what that joke is. Something about, like, we're asking, like, why Screaming Chicken? Like, what
oh,
the heck is
the,
that
the
about?
Hemorrhaging antelope for the erotic walrus.
Yes.
Oh, we were just looking for something that could encompass everything we wanted to do without limitations. There's a lot of burlesque companies out there that pick really, you know, sexy names, you know, really cute names. But we wanted to pick something where we could do anything and have the freedom to put on any type of show we wanted. And, yeah, not be pigeonholed into a certain feel.
And Norm, yeah. your views on that?
Well, that's exactly it. We didn't want to be cornered. We didn't want to establish something that gave us a certain tone, because we really want to try different things. We've done a huge variety, as Becky said, Orgy of the Dead. That's what Melody said.
When you're role playing, you make
identity.
To make the same mistakes when you're role playing. I want to know. Okay.
But we've done Orgy of the Dead. We've done a lot more classically inspired shows, and we also treat ourselves a lot differently. A lot of troupes establish a troupe, where we've established a theater company,
okay.
where we
yeah,
do
yeah.
a lot of different productions with a lot of different people. Shows such as the Taboo Review,
which is coming up on Friday.
Which is coming up on Friday is our burlesque variety show, which is I think as close as possible as a modern version of the early burlesque shows, just past the turn of the century up into the 20s, with lots of comedy, dancing, and singing. And then we do Orgy of the Dead, which is a B movie from the 60s. And we've done completely original theatrical productions. So with a name, we really wanted something that didn't box us in and was vague enough and strange enough to.
Well, it certainly is, and I love it myself, of course, because I love chickens and stuff.
I know you like feathers.
So, what forms of burlesque have had a huge impact on you, besides the ones you've mentioned? You said something about the 60s, you said something
about the 20s.
Is there any other kind of big impact?
I love. I don't know if it's totally burlesque, but the Ziegfeld Follies. I'm big on costumes. So it was that Saul Bloom said, men will always go for the girls, and the girls will always go for the costumes in burlesque.
It's true. Well, in real life, myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, clothing. It's huge.
Yeah,
I'm a huge clothing whore.
Yeah, I know. I'm a huge clothing whore, but I'm a huge, yeah.
Yes, I know.
Costumes are my life. I have 3/4 of a trickle trunk and 1/4 of an actual wardrobe. I'm sure you could probably say the same thing, Ms.
Yes,
Mangler.
Yes, it's ridiculous. That's why we had to get a studio to actually house all of my costumes. Doesn't fit in our apartment.
Oh, that's fabulous. That's wonderful.
But just making pictures with girls, you know, the group choreography, really just, you know, using all these girls to make a beautiful picture and just really make a statement to the audience,
mm-hmm.
the big group of people.
Costumes are hugely important, yeah.
What else do you guys like in terms of that, besides the costumes, besides the Ziegfeld Follies type of numbers? Because you guys have such extensive pieces, like the Orgy from the Dead, for example. Like, you've kind of dabbled into so much. So for Norman, for you, what really inspires you in terms of types of forms? Like, when you guys started this company, what did you guys envision at the very beginning?
Well, at the very beginning, we didn't initially associate ourselves with burlesque. We didn't realize that that's what we were doing.
Okay.
It was only after researching burlesque that we realized, wow, this is what we're doing. We're making fun of, we're making light of, as I think, like I said, we started doing a live game show, an R-rated game show.
And oh my God, really?
I want to hear about that. Describe it.
Well, it was a bar night, and I was working at a bar, and it was slow, and a bunch of us would sit around and think about what we could do to liven up the night. And we thought, well, you know, what do we want to see? You know, what is it there that isn't out there? And it's like, well, you know, what's the common denominator between, you know, what everybody finds entertaining? And we're like, well, you know, people like laughing at their friends. Everybody likes seeing their friends make fools of themselves. Everybody likes seeing people get naked and take off clothes, and everybody likes getting free stuff. So we realized that a game show was a perfect format if we could make it a little lewder and a little bit. So we started running this night, and it developed.
What was it called, and where was it? Can you tell?
It was at the Cobalt, and it was just called Game Show Night.
Okay.
Simply
okay.
and straightforward. And okay. We made people do horrible things.
Bobbing for tampons.
No. Hopefully not used.
No, we had a bedpan, and we fill it full of tomato sauce, and then it was a partner game. So one person with their hands behind their back would have to bob and try and grab all the tampons out of the bedpan, and then mouth pass it to their partner, had to put it in their cup, and it was a race against time.
Oh my lord. Okay, that's pushing boundaries, screaming chicken is all about.
What other things did you do?
Oh, lots of maybe people pour lots of things down their pants. We were
such as.
Cream corn, sauerkraut, beans.
Did you offer them gift certificates for clothing so they could buy afterwards?
Clothing, tattoos, piercings.
Tattoos, actually. Yeah.
Like where they actually got tattoos?
Yeah, it was gift certificates for tattoos.
Oh, okay, I thought you meant they actually got it there. Oh, all the premises, and I was visualizing that going, man.
I went to a show where they did nipple piercing on the stage and stuff. Yeah. But I was thinking, they do a tattoo on the stage, that'd be kind of cool.
That would be. It would scare me, though.
Oh, you'd be a long time. Needle.
You want to take some time thinking about which one you want. But anyway, not when you're drinking after you've had cream corn down your pants. All right.
We sort of realized at that point that we started looking at burlesque and looking at other things to add to the show. Mm-hmm. And we decided to take it on the road after about a year. And we were looking at other acts to book it with and, you know, mm-hmm. they would play well. And we found that a lot of bands didn't generally work. It was tough for us to do it alongside of really heavy bands or anything else. So we started looking around and we really started looking at burlesque and what the different people were doing. And we realized that by definition, what we'd been doing all along was burlesque.
Mm-hmm.
Not what most people think of, but really ridiculing and parodying was really truly burlesque, and I think that it was sort of looking at that, exploring that, and looking at all the comedy and all the funny stuff that came from Lydia Thompson in the 1850s and 60s came over and brought burlesque to the U.S. with her British Blondes, who would do stand-ups, do parodies of mainstream theater. They do mm-hmm. Shakespeare. I think instead of Ben Hur, they did Bend Her. So it was Shakespeare short acts done in a dirty. And they'd make dirty versions and dirty parodies of all these to make fun of all the upper class and the people that mm-hmm. would go to mainstream theater. So starting there with that sort of comedy and that laughing at everything and making, you know, what doesn't necessarily seem dirty, but doing it in a dirty way, and carrying all the way through to the era of the showman around mm-hmm. the turn of the century, where you had P.T. Barnum and Saul Bloom got involved and added their aspect to burlesque, to when it went to theaters, when it was on Broadway with comedians and jugglers and contortionists and clowns. And I think my favorite thing is the comedy, is the mm-hmm. fun, is the dirty humor, the making light. The blue collar humor.
I'm very interested to find out what kind of lover you are, Norm. So let's get on to that part. So how did you two meet?
It was at the Cobalt. Actually,
she picked me up at the bar.
You picked him up. I just moved into town, met him within a week moving here, and
Daniel Packard would be very proud of you. I know you probably don't know who Daniel Packard is, but he does, and I'm sure if he listens to this podcast, he'd be like, yes, a plug for women picking up men. That's his work. That's his life calling. Anyway, all right.
Spots would be happy, too, because Cass picked up John.
Oh, yes. Well, and I picked up my boyfriend, although he stalked me and now.
He stalked you, you liked being stalked.
I liked being stalked. Okay.
By him, anyway.
So you guys met at the Cobalt, and then did you start, well, Cass and John, actually, the wet spot started talking. I mean, we just had them last as a couple, so we're kind of going to maybe speak of them a little bit. But I have a few questions about them and you, but did you guys, sleep together within the first week?
I think it was actually that night.
Okay, that's what I
Yeah, it was actually.
That's what Cousin John did.
You know what they always say, when you're supposed to meet a husband, you know, never meet them at a bar. Never sleep on the first date. We did both, and now it's been, 5 years.
I think we chatted together a few times before.
Oh, we did. Okay. We did. Well, that was, but the night I picked him up, we slept together.
We ran into each other and met a couple of times.
On the bus.
I'm
sorry, there's a private joke there for only me. So how is it working together as a couple, then?
It's fantastic.
And convenient.
5 years. Convenient.
But it means we're talking about work, not work, but, you know, a screaming chicken all the time. Mm-hmm. like constantly. But that's also good because then we can work out everything, and we're constantly brainstorming how to make things better. You know, if something isn't working, we're like, okay, and then after just a while, it'll click, and we'll have this great idea, and it'll work. And
so okay, that's great, and sounds like you guys have a lot of fun together, which is probably why you're still together after 5 years and being in doing. Have you been doing Screaming Chicken for how long?
Pretty much the same length of time. I think we met right when we were starting the game show night. Melody came on right near the beginning of that, and
so about four.
I think about the same amount of time.
They're looking at each other right now while they talk, which is why they can't hear that their voices go away from the microphone. It is very sweet.
Sorry, we're
they'll be
getting
sorry
on
when they get podcast when they get to listen to the podcast. Oh, then your voice trailed off. And so anyway, but that's so romantic. Okay, I'm sorry, I got off track there.
It's okay.
Caroline, help me.
Okay, breathe. One of the things I was going to ask is, when you guys are putting together the show, what's something funny that's happened? I'm sure there's lots all along the way, but is there something that really stands out where it kind of really bonded, where you kind of realized that you guys were in this for the long haul, like both as a society as well as you guys together, where like maybe it was kind of stressful during one of the rehearsals or something, and then yeah, and that was the moment where you realized, yeah, this is really working and this is pretty cool.
We had some interesting experiences going on the road. Our first few times on the road. Not to say anything specifically, because it might incriminate certain people, but we certainly had some drama and some breakdowns and some crises. You know, when you're packed with as many people as we sometimes will bring. I think at the most we were hauling around about 13 or 14 people.
Two rental vans full of people.
Packed.
At the biggest though,
with all the costumes and the drama.
With all the costumes and all the drama and everything else and the stresses, and I think
the energy drinks
as the world starts to explode around you, and when the two of us manage to just sort of leave it all out, and that we were able to.
Oh, is that what we're talking
able
about?
To act
we were
right?
Like, there was like, we couldn't get with, you know, game show night wasn't coming together. We didn't have any of the prizes because the bar. They didn't get our prizes, and we're like, it's like an hour before we're supposed to go on. We're like, oh, and everyone's freaking out. So we're like, okay, we're going to go get some prizes. And we went for a long walk, and we came back with a big rubber fist for a prize, and then everything was good and calm, and the show went on.
How much was that fist?
We spent $45 US on that.
Oh, 45 US.
Bail us out on some prizes.
It was nice, though. It was a good fist. The guy was happy.
Have I seen that fist in any of your shows? Or did you just buy another one? Or
No, we gave that one away.
Nice.
We do have a reoccurring strap-on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for the cock ring toss. That will be happening this Friday.
Do you describe that in a little bit review. More information about that? I want to hear it word for word.
You have a pitcher?
Yes.
You have a catcher.
You have a pitcher and a catcher. Okay.
Do you get to do it blindfolded?
Well, one person puts on the strap on and it has to be on one side of the stage. Mm-hmm. And the other person gets a bunch of rings and stands on, you know, the opposite side of the stage. And then it's all on the wrist. It's all on the wrist, so you got to be good. And you know, hand-cock coordination. And then you throw. And then the person has to be good at their hips, and they can't move their feet, and then they have to try and balance the rings on the cock.
Oh, very good, very good.
How many have been the most rings you've gotten around the cock, or whoever's won before?
I think we've had people get the full set, like, what, like
close,
10 or something?
Eight
like
out it's of been, 10
yeah,
at least.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some
how
people
big is
are
that cock?
I think it's more important how big the rings are. It's like the It's like the rings better be somewhat sizable because...
Oh, that's true.
Okay, so we digress, which is fabulous. So what made you guys decide to create a burlesque company? You were talking about the game show thing, and then what made you actually want to do a
like, burlesque? Was there a significant incident that happened?
No, it was a slow evolution. It was really starting this night to entertain ourselves. I was bartending, and there was nothing going on in the night, and so, well, let's do something.
But also why we went to the dancing girls, because something funny happens when you do a burlesque show. With game show night, we had a problem at the punk bar, is that strip golf turned into a bunch of crusty punks taking off their clothes, debris flies everywhere, smelliness ensues. But we wanted more girls up there, because everyone gets so riled up when there's girls up there playing strip golf, taking off their clothing, doing whatever. When you do burlesque, girls go crazy. And it is so much fun. They're hooting and hollering and excited. me up on stage. I want to be up on stage. So then game show night works a whole lot better when you do burlesque with it.
I see.
A big,
okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So, it was all the natural development out of the game show night and then into our later productions. And just as we incorporated more people had more ideas and wanted to do different, more projects. And we just really grew. I don't think there was a sudden moment where any decision was made.
And then the just Screaming Chicken name decision was made.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it was after that, yeah.
So, you just love screaming chickens? I just need to know more about this question because you didn't give me a full answer before. I still don't feel satisfied.
It was very random.
It was very random. Okay. We had a list of animals and a list of adjectives.
It was
that's what I want to hear because right now I'm trying to find out branding for my own business.
Oh.
And I've talked to a lot of people about naming and branding.
Thesaurus.com, rhymezone.com. Seriously, a lot of my material I will write just like, what rhymes with this? Well, that's a funny word. Oh, wait. What also goes with this? What are other words for this? And, you know, just...
Excellent. So what are those websites?
Thesaurus.com and RhymeZone.com.
Oh, RhymeZone. Yeah. Okay, Thesaurus, I've used RhymeZone. Excellent. I need help with my academic papers as well. So this is good. All right. Before we close for a little break, I want to ask, when did you start performing burlesque, Melody? Was it before or after Screaming Chicken?
It was right before we phased the burlesque into with the game show night. Because we were doing the game show night for about a year. And then we hit a year. And we're like, okay, something needs to change. We need to add something. We need to do something. And that was when I joined the Alter Vixens Peep Show.
I've heard of them.
Yeah.
Alter Vixens Peep Show.
Yeah. They're fun girls. I did one show with them. And then we brought them on. Actually, we brought them on tour with us across to the States. And then we just decided to do our own thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You guys have a little bit of a twist on stuff, which is why you're on Juicebox in the first place, which I love. So we're going to talk a lot more about that in the next half of the show. But Caroline, you had a question that we were talking about over dinner about oh darn, I just lost it.
I had a lot of questions, so I'm just curious which one you wanted me to ask.
It was something around why. They have this kind of... Oh, no, what was different between them and the other kinds of burlesque shows or burlesque review people or whatever, the different groups that are out there in Vancouver?
I think we have sicker minds.
Isn't it more proper to say more sick minds? I don't know. Sicker minds, yes.
Like, okay. A number we're going to be debuting at this Taboo Review Show.
Yes, tell us about the Taboo Review Show.
It's a six-person singing burlesque number. Have you seen Chicago? Probably.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. You know the Cell Block Tango?
Mm-hmm.
We made the Bestiality Tango.
Oh, my God. Nice. So excited about seeing this show. Yeah. I can tell you. This is Friday at the Cobalt. It's only $10 to get in. Now, that's pretty amazing for a Friday night. Why is it so cheap?
Oh, we like to...
Oh, I shouldn't say that on stage. No, talk about the price. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to get fired.
It's cheap.
It's really cheap. And
burlesque was always supposed to be affordable. And it was always the blue-collar theater. It was to make fun of the... It's upsetting to see something that's very exclusive. You know, this is something that's fun for everybody. This is supposed to compete with TV. You know, we want to get people out. We want to have people having a good time. And I think the first step of that is making it affordable enough so people can buy drinks at the bar as well.
And bring their dates. So I want to read this T-shirt that you're wearing, Norm, before we close for the half hour. This is a game show night shirt that I think that he made after the night. It says, I went to game show night at the Cobalt and saw people get naked and play golf, wear rubber cocks, pour cream corn down their pants, French kiss cod, eat ass pies, win prizes, put cigarettes out on themselves, and all I got was scarred for life. Fabulous T-shirt. You are speaking to the Screaming Chicken Theatrical Society. And Norm, what's Norm's last name?
Elmore.
And Melody Mangler, of who we have other names that we've mentioned in the half hour, but hopefully you won't review the podcast to remember where they are because she's got this kind of... Are you trying to hide from something, Melody? I'm just wondering.
My lurid past? No. It's confusing. Two names are confusing.
Yes.
So one name is less confusing.
Simpler.
Are you a secretary in another life and you don't want people to actually...
secretary
put you
by
and your
day?
Pasties together?
No, I have weird jobs. So
okay.
It doesn't matter.
All right.
I'm actually Melody at my other jobs, too.
Oh, okay. Well, let's take a short break. Keep that dial locked to hear more from Screaming Chicken Theatrical Society, Norm and Melody. We welcome your calls during this time especially, so please call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR.
And you are in Juicebox, featured on Vancouver's CITR 101.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Come volunteer. Come volunteer all the time. Volunteering is really good. On April the 24th, it is going to be International Volunteer Day. So you should find a local organization and volunteer. Give of yourself. Give of your time. Especially if you want to volunteer for Beauty Night Society, which is an award-winning volunteer organization, which provides makeovers and other wellness programs for disadvantaged women and youth. For more information, please call Beauty Night info at beautynight.org. Thank you.
I couldn't find a PSA in time, but Caroline, that was a fabulous job.
Well, you really had me thinking on my feet there, Jill.
You're good. This is why you're my co-host. Welcome back to Juicebox Radio. Interview with Norm and Melody of Screaming Chicken Theatrical Society. Screaming Chicken shows take inspiration from traditional burlesque, theater of terror, vaudeville, pop culture, and more. They feature elaborate costuming, props, and makeup, sometimes beautiful, sometimes shocking. Yeah. Check out their show on Friday in Vancouver, The Taboo Review at the Cobalt. Just go to Screaming Chicken and you'll find them. Okay, let me quote from their website. In recent years, burlesque has once again resurfaced. Troupes have been popping up all over in what is being called the burlesque revival, taking influences from both the classic styles of burlesque and more modern styles of dance, music, and comedy. The new burlesque is driven by a positive attitude towards sex. In an era where it has become socially acceptable to show gory violence on television, but where a glimpse of a female nipple can spark massive controversy, the new burlesque ridicules social taboos. This sex-positive attitude permeates the new burlesque community, with many of the performers describing this as a woman's liberation movement. Showing that women can have a healthy attitude towards sex without being subjected to social judgments. This seems to have struck a note with many, as it seems that the biggest fans of burlesque are the female persuasion. Norm, can you comment?
I think that is the comment. I think I wrote that.
You did. Very well done. Maybe I should have got you to read it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the biggest thing about sex is as I said earlier, the making light of a serious subject. I think a lot of people keep this behind closed doors and are ashamed to admit, where what we do is throwing it out there and saying that we like sex, you like sex, everybody likes sex. It's okay to admit this. It's okay to talk about this. It's okay to make jokes about this. And I think that humor, that joking about it is what opens that door for a lot of people. It's that way that they can say, oh, I can, you know, address this because it's funny, or, you know, I can admit that I enjoy going and seeing something like this. I think,
yeah.
One of the things
that's what I do. That's my big pull is being a sex educator. I'm always putting comedy in there because it opens people up and allows them to listen to what I'm trying to say. And sometimes what I'm saying is pretty hard stuff. So, totally, it's a great doorway to sex positivity.
We've had a few middle-aged couples, and it's funny. It's I say middle-aged in a very broad
sense.
That'd
be me. I'm almost 40.
Everything from people in their 30s to their 50s that have come up to us at shows and said, you know, oh, we're big fans. We come out to all your shows. You know, we saw you the first time and we didn't know what to expect, but we came out, or my friend dragged me out, or for whatever reason. And a lot of people are like, ooh, I didn't know if I was going to be. But I came out and I brought my husband, and we went home after the show and had the best sex we've had in years.
So fabulous. What a compliment.
So that's, you know, I think that's what it does.
That's,
and I think
so great.
That
that's going to be worth your cover charge, eh?
Yeah, no,
I was
going to
say, it's cheaper than therapy.
Can't say what the cover charge is, of course, but...
but it's a good price.
Melody, can you comment at all about this women's liberation movement, this healthy attitude towards sex, and how burlesque, the burlesque revival is sort of attributing?
Well, definitely I can see something with body types.
I think
looking all throughout history, because burlesque draws from, you know, all the way from like the mid-1800s, you are looking at all these different body types that were all considered absolutely beautiful and sexy. So each person today can look at one of those and identify with it and be like, I am so hot.
Yeah.
It's not like one form of sexy where you're like Maxim airbrush woman. But you're drawing from just the different ages of sexuality in a, yeah.
You know, that's interesting. At the Juice Box Salon recently, my first big night of performance, I talked a lot about, well, one of the biggest messages I had for people was body image and how that limits us in our sexual realm, and how we don't allow a lot of sexual freedom for ourselves and in our sex lives at all because we have these body image issues. So one of the things that I've noticed about burlesque, and that has given me, is exactly what you just spoke to, and that is I identify with these sort of more... Rubenesque looking women up there, where I can say, oh, I've got that role. I've got that exact role, right? That's where, oh, she looks so hot. Look, wow, I gotta get over my role issue or whatever it is that it might be, right? So it has been very effective for me.
And to do the shimmy, you know, to do that, you know, and you're shaking around,
the
more flesh, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Wiggling flesh just riles up the crowd, and they're yelling and hooting and hollering, and
it's fabulous.
Exciting.
I did that too at the salon, but this whole shimmy thing is so big, it's so important, and I had like the biggest woman in the room come up, and I'm just shaking the shit out of her body, and everyone was going crazy, and so yeah, totally.
Awesome. One of the most incredible things is the change you see in the students that take the Becoming Burlesque and take the longer classes.
Like you'll have girls coming in, you know, quite quiet or a bit shy, reserved, but then you get them in the costume, and then every, you know, the energy is so infectious. You have everybody in front of the mirrors with their costumes and their fringe and their sequins, and they're shaking around, and everyone's so excited, and it's a whole range of body types.
So Becoming Burlesque, just talk about this quite briefly. When did you start doing that? Is it a workshop series or one day? Or
It's 8 weeks.
Eight weeks.
We began it about a year ago. It's 8 weeks, so 8 classes every Tuesday. Classes run about 3 hours, and we work to build a show with the students. So by the end of it, they put on their graduation recital, and they have a full-on burlesque show. That's all them.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Norm, can you speak about this? Have you been a part of it? Have you watched it happen? Have you done the show? Have you done the class? Have you done burlesque? Have you done anything?
Have you done boy?
Have you done boylesque?
No, I've been the prop boy a few times, the prop man, and generally wearing a mask or a silly hat at least. And been on stage.
Did you have the cock thing with the ring?
Never the rubber cock. I spend most of my time behind the scenes. I am involved in, like most Screaming Chicken, I have my fingers and everything, but...
how appropriate.
I hope that they're clean and well-lubed. That's all I have to say.
But I also teach the professionalism and talk to some of the girls about booking shows and about going on in burlesque as a performer and making as a professional performer. And I think the class is really incredible. You see a huge change in people over the course of 2 months, and it's really about giving them the opportunity. And you put these girls that are often come in, they want to do it, but a lot of time they're not certain, mm-hmm. or they have their doubts. But by the time it comes around to their show and they're in front of 200 screaming people that are so excited to see them, it's just you see the look on on their faces when they walk on stage the first time, and it's not fear anymore. It's just a
elation,
grin, and elation. And when they walk off stage after to you know, the huge round of applause,
empowerment,
we just did the photo shoot class, and everyone got their photos back, and a girl had a laptop computer, so everyone was like looking at their pictures. Like, there was nothing I could do. They were just looking at their pictures. No way class could start right on time. But everyone was just so excited to see these glamour shots. It was.
Did you think that you'd become a teacher? I mean, you're an educator.
No.
You're a sex educator, actually, in your own right. So
it's really so much fun, and it really is that, like, you don't really, really learn or understand it till you teach it, because it's amazing everything I'm learning.
What did one of your students call it? Wiggles and giggles.
Mm. Wiggles and giggles.
Well, I wish I could ask you how much it costs to do the show or to do the thing, but I'm sure it's on your website.
It's very reasonable. It is on the website.
Okay.
So. Is it on the website? Or email me.
Yeah. So what is your email address anyway?
Melody@screamingchicken.net.
Okay, so is it Y or IE?
Why?
Why? Okay.
It's all on the website as well.
Yeah. So. Named after my mother, Melody, I have to say. If only she's probably never heard a single one of my 124 shows that I've done, but that's my mother.
She'll call you tonight, and she'll be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, she's like, I've listened to every single show.
And this is the first time you've ever... feelings. Don't know if you've ever talked about me on the show.
Anyway, okay.
Melody, have you ever had a student that really specific where a huge impact on their life, the class? Like, obviously, all of them have, but one that really stood out for one of you two?
Definitely Violet Femme. Okay. She was in the first round of classes, and now she's my co-captain. She's teaching the class with me.
Nice. Uh-huh.
So she is just, she jumped, she took to it like a fish to water. It was crazy. And she's just blown me away.
How did you see her change?
Well, you know, she was one of those, you know, kids that, like, drank at the Cobalt just like us. And, you know, just... didn't see
one
her,
of our first
you
fans.
Know, one of our first fans did game show night, and I guess she went to the burlesque festival and then started talking about kind of wanting to get into burlesque, and then the classes came up and she joined right away, and then all of a sudden it was just like she was
she
in all
found
our shows.
Her calling.
She found her calling. She found the groove. Just slipped right in as soon as it was. Yeah, as soon as that.
Well. I think on the break we were talking about, we wanted to know some of the funny things that have happened in your work with the company that other couples may not experience, but more so just like what some funny stories, some things that maybe you could share that
like
would be
for example
exciting.
When you're on the road, like you guys went on tour, I'm sure there's stuff that happened because humor, I don't know, I would say definitely humor's not. Isn't very regional.
It's a local thing,
yes. It's a very local thing. And I was wondering if there's certain... because you went across the states, didn't you, with your tours?
Well, just down into Washington and Portland and a little ways down the coast.
The West Coast.
We played a lot of shows in Tacoma, which is right near a naval base.
Yeah, yeah.
So what was that like?
What was it? We were doing game show night, and one of the questions was, in what year did Canada...
Canadians burned down the White House.
Yeah, yeah.
That was
and
a bad idea.
They freaked out. They started yelling shenanigans on us.
Oh, my God.
But it's, you know, it's in their national anthem, the, you know, the War of 1812, where and the flag was still there, is about us burning down their White House. And they didn't believe that it happened.
Wow.
So apparently they aren't taught that.
Yeah, they don't get taught that.
It's you don't want to go to the States as a foreigner and expect Americans to laugh at themselves.
No.
Oh, interesting.
It was very touchy. And I think we learned in general not to politics is completely out of bounds. We had some people get almost violently angry if you bring up anything, because unfortunately they're so divided down there, mm-hmm. and it's both sides. And if you bring up politics,
such as
anywhere about the war or any of the simplest things, or these strange prisons with no names on them that have been popping up as national facilities in places like Tacoma. If you mention any of these things, you're going to offend somebody.
Well,
nobody talks about this. Nobody talks politics at parties. Nobody after the show will go. And you have to be very careful to avoid mentioning anything to do with politics, because it is such... Everybody wants to be friendly and get along. So there's sort of this self-censorship where nobody says anything because they don't want to offend anybody else. And
we had that one guy at the after party the one time, and he had just gotten back from, was it
Iraq.
Afghanistan or Iraq?
Yeah.
And he was on some sort of drugs or something. He started having flashbacks.
At the party.
It's scary.
So he started going like rat-a-tat-tat?
He was... ducking and covering in the kitchen.
LSD will do that to you.
And it just the difference of being here and realizing it's people that are our age that are going over there, I think, was the biggest thing. Yeah.
Have there been times as a couple where you've kind of had to jump in either with other cast members because you felt them on the verge of offending somebody, where you've had to kind of jump in and go, "So, sweetie, da-da-da, she's just kidding," or whatever?
We're not for censorship. That's the thing, is that I hate censorship. Mm-hmm. But there was this one line where one of our hosts wanted to compare the States to being Nazis, and so we had to nix that line.
I think the exact line of who was and who would ban alcohol? Nazis? So that was kind of a... And it was in a script from the history of burlesque, a show we did on the history of burlesque.
Nice.
Where we talked about prohibition, and that was actually a line in the script. And when we did the show in the States, we're like, okay, maybe that's not
Canadian
so good.
Version of the script.
How many shows have you gone on tour with?
How many different tours?
We really haven't done a lot of extensive touring. We've done a few multi-show trips, and like I said, we went down to Tacoma semi-regularly for a while.
Victoria, Portland.
Yeah. Victoria. We're actually going on tour, our first sort of BC Alberta. It'll be our longest stint in a few months here.
How many of you are going to pile into the two vans this time?
I think we're only going to take about 9 or 10 people this time.
Okay, three less. Maybe it'll be less arguments going on or some less drama. But so how, as a couple, like, I mean, you guys built this thing together. Are you married?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're married.
Yeah.
Oh, hello. How long have you been married?
A few months.
January 6th?
Oh, that's so great. I'm sorry. I'm so excited. That's so awesome. Okay. Julia wants to get married. Can you tell? So how, as a couple, like, how have you been... dealing like with things, because you kind of have a united front, I'm assuming, or have you just not been a united front? Like, have you kind of been? Yeah.
Well, we've dealt with a lot of our core people have been with us since the beginning, which really means that they've been with us since the beginning of our relationship. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these people know us,
right?
Have known us or knew me before and knew Melody before for actually years before. A lot of these people that came in originally were old friends of both of ours that came together to work on these projects. So so it's definitely been a part of things and had an effect. And these are friends, so they've seen us. I don't think we fight, or we don't fight, but we bicker. We argue.
Yeah, we work things out.
And we argue things out, just like we do with everybody else in the show when there's debate and there's a lot of, you know, people that feel strongly about their art. And we get everybody together, and that's just the way we work is collectively, and sometimes it gets a little more heated than others. Mm-hmm. But I think everybody, and particularly what's been important for the two of us, is really being able to walk away from it and leave it as... we're not mad at each other. Mm-hmm. We're not arguing with each other. We're arguing our ideas or our points, and not fighting. And you know, okay, the meeting's over, you know, let's, you know.
Go back to being in love and yeah. relationship.
Has it been like that since the beginning, or has that been an evolution in terms of how you've learned to work together that way?
Gradual, I think as things get more intense, because we started out, you know, just doing a Monday night, which is no big deal.
Yeah, no stress.
But as you know, bigger and bigger productions go on, you know, it definitely gets, you know, scarier, you know, you're tying in your finances and stuff, and we're going in together on that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I think we've gotten a lot better learning about tones of voice.
Don't talk in the angry voice.
and,
we learned that.
You know, be quiet and sit down and speak a little softer when things are getting a little heated.
Right.
Step back and relax. And these are all things we've gotten better at and this process and become more productive and
been able
to deal with bigger and more challenging projects.
So when you collaborate on your professional projects, do you take on like a different persona than when you have in the bedroom, like at home alone in your apartment? Are you different people?
I don't think so.
Not really.
No.
Not really.
You seem to be kind of like just a lot of fun-loving, a lot of play going on between you in your relationship. I get that sense. And then when you have conflict sort of out there in the production world, do you still have that sort of some playful kind of teasing spirit?
Definitely, yeah. You know, you try and keep it as fun as you can. Like, you know, if everything's get too serious, then, you know, you tickle someone, or you know what I mean? Like,
okay, so that's
keeping
the way
it light.
That you, right, you keep it light. You keep it light. So then on a more serious question note I want to make here is, when you get home and you are by yourself and there is something sort of serious to work out, do you actually sit down and talk? Like, I'm sort of speaking on your relationship level now. Like, do you actually sit down and talk it out, or do you kind of just sort of tease and kind of like get the comment out there so that you both understand where each other is at, and then you kind of just like, you know, go to your separate corners and...
We definitely don't go to separate corner. We talk all the time.
Yeah.
You know, we spend, whether it's the show, you know, sharing a hobby as well as the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It really has been our whole relationship, has involved a lot of talking because we have something to talk about. It's always something new to deal with. Conversation's never been stagnant.
You know, I can tell that.
One thing I've noticed is I've never been bored since I've met Melody. I noticed that thinking back to the days where I used to be bored all the time, sitting at home playing video games or something for nothing better to do. And I don't think that's happened once in the last 5 years. It's always been, we've always got something on the go and always something working on.
Which is why you married her, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Married each other.
Proposed to who?
Well, this sort of goes in line with the way we deal with things, is just sort of talking things. I don't think that there was a proposal. I think
you
it was...
You said, so it's about time we get married, or something to that effect.
We talked about it for a long time before and had really just waiting for a reason or for a time. Or it was something that came up that neither of us felt pressured to do. Or that it was particularly important. We're not big ones for laws or legal, or and neither of us.
Sure seem to be. Yes.
And neither of us are particularly religious. So the idea of having a written contract to say that we were always going to be together, and the religious significance really never played into things. So it's something that we came up. You know, it was sort of a mutual. We knew that we were going to spend the rest of our lives together, and that you know, marriage was something was going to be a good excuse for us to have a party and celebrate the fact, and you know, and more as a symbolic thing than anything else. And we knew it wasn't really going to change our life. So when it actually came down to that, it's like, well, you know, this looks like a good time. What do you think about getting married in a month?
And it carries a bit more weight than saying this is my boyfriend. Like, it's not a boyfriend.
Yeah, no, that's
it's easier to explain to people now.
Life partner, wife, husband. Yeah, it's fabulous. I did say wife and husband, didn't I? You helped me with that, Carolyn. I even introduced them. I'm like, you guys got married? What? Anyway, you can tell that she helps produce most of the show. So one of the questions I have is, do you have sex in the change room to make up with, like, fights you might have when you're in the middle of this production?
Well, all the change rooms seem to be very small at the venues. We haven't been able
bathrooms,
to get into
corners, to whatever.
It's usually pretty crowded in there.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to have sex with the cobalt.
No, we try our best to escape when we can. But
I was gonna say, like, if you have any kind of like issue, then you kind of like you'd like shove her into the corner and like make out with her. You listen to me, girl. I mean, I think that's hot. Anyone who's listening is my boyfriend. You can totally boss me around if you do that.
Well, we're definitely affectionate in public, but I don't know. It just usually around showtimes we're so busy, like there's just not even a chance until after the show is over.
I think it's more of a build up and get the show done with, and then we disappear for 3 days after a big show and just hang out with each other and spend some time together.
I was just gonna ask because I know when I'm doing performances, I don't like having sex on days of because I'm psychologically prepping, so I don't like it.
I like having sex day of, like right before, like a few hours.
Because it's like,
I'm in the Melody Mangler mindset.
And I bet that's one of the reasons she married our Norm. So do you think that working together all the time affects your sex life?
When we're busy. Sometimes we're too busy, you know?
We're stressed at the same times. And I think stress is probably the biggest factor in actually changing our sex life. I think if we're both really stressed, that definitely affects things.
But at least we're not stressed or relaxed at different times, so it's not like one of us getting frustrated and being like,
my love? Where's my sex?
Yeah,
all that.
I'm not like freaking out and the show's in 2 days. And
that's true. Yeah, that could be helpful.
Do you guys create a completely different show each and every time? Like, for example, with the Orgy of the Dead, do you pick up some pieces that have worked in years past and replicate them again?
Hey, we're segueing from the sex. I don't understand what we're doing here. What are you talking?
Necrophilia and it's part of sex, sort of. You never know.
Caroline just wants to get these questions out. We should have them over beers. How about we? No, but it's a good question. It is a very good question. I just want to talk about the sex. That's all. You go ahead, Caroline. What is the answer to the question?
I like to talk about the death thing. It's my Scorpioism factor. I like sex and death, just maybe not together in the same. But I am fascinated with both, and I figure some of our listeners might be fascinated as well. That's all.
We keep some acts, but we always try to improve them each year, making them bigger and better. We're learning, you know, each year we learn a little bit more about stage gore. It's tricky, you know, we're trying to learn more. We really want to spray people, but there are certain acts that just work so well. Like the zombie act is a favorite. And
yeah, we refine, and inevitably, it has an 18-person cast, so inevitably there's turnover every year, and so when you see new people come in, often you'll end up with an entirely different number and done entirely differently than it was done the year before, and then some stuff we bring back, and then naturally we cycle through stuff. If people have seen it too many times, we always want to keep it fresh and shocking, and
I've seen the Halloween show, sorry, what's it called again? The Orgy of the Dead. I've seen it, 3 years in a row. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been, I totally tripped upon you guys the first year. And the second year, I was like, I think I went to that last year. It was really good. And then this year, I was like, oh my God, are you going to the Orgy of the Dead? I was like buying 6 tickets in advance and just selling them to people, like not for extra profit, but just, you know, I was just like, you got to come with me. This is the best show ever. I'm like such a good marketer, though. I love good quality entertainment like this. And I love Screaming Chicken for your hugely original, pushing the boundaries, fabulous entertainment of the kind of caliber that is Juicebox. So it's been such a pleasure having you on the show tonight. Really, it has been. Not trying to wrap it up or anything, but just wanted to say that.
No, it's been good. I was going to ask, what can we look forward to seeing? Because we're both coming on Friday night to check it out.
Oh, well.
We're debuting a new dancer. That's exciting.
Very first time on stage.
Well, not on stage.
First time on stage.
The burlesque stage. She's an actress.
Bon Bombay has never performed anywhere.
Bon Bon Bombay. Oh, her burlesque name. She's never performed.
We're debuting a new performer. We have a whole bunch of new acts. I think we've got... It's going to be a 3-hour show.
Three sets. So
okay, it starts at sharp at what time?
10 o'clock.
Oh, God. So it goes till 12?
It goes to 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. I said I'd be at this other thing at 11:30. Is the last set the best set? Probably.
That's when Win, Lose, or Dare happens. So if you want to see girls in the audience getting messy, but there's something for everyone.
We definitely scale to the night, and it's good. It's all good. There's no good set because it's all going to be excellent. There's big, huge group numbers in every number, which is something that's a little bit unique to us. You won't you don't see most people doing as many group numbers or as duos, trios, and
yeah, we might only have like four numbers. Solos in this show. Like, there's a lot of like duos and trios and like scenes and skits. Like, we really try to make, you know, get everyone.
The Taboo Review, you also see a lot more comedy. You'll see a lot more musical numbers. You'll see, you know, we've got half a dozen singing numbers or so in this show. It's really a huge variety, and that's the trick with the Taboo Review. That's where it really stands out. This is a true variety show. So, everything from big group musical numbers that, you know, you'd see on stage to stand-up comedy to sketches to
fabulous.
To lounge and everything in between.
Sounds amazing. Sounds.
Are we going to see you up on stage, Norm?
No.
Not even holding the cock ring. I mean, the hats or something.
Strap on.
Like usual, you'll see me walking very quickly back and forth between running to the store and putting out fires and keeping the ship running smoothly.
Well, you're a very smiley, wonderful-looking man, so I know you probably do a good job of keeping everyone calm and putting fires out. Hopefully not Melody's fire, but... All right. So thank you. Thank you for being on the show. And such a pleasure.
And we're looking forward to seeing you on Friday night at the Cobalt.
Awesome. Oh, we got presents for you.
What?
Oh,
presents?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
this is crazy.
I made you guys something. Who likes... Oh, wait. Actually, it'll just be a surprise.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you, guys.
These are
leopard
so cute.
Little boxes.
They're little mini Chinese food takeout boxes,
they're so
but they're made
cute.
Of animal prints. And are we allowed to open
them? Oh, yes. Open them up.
On air? Okay.
On air.
Thank you.
Pasties.
Oh my gosh,
they're so cute.
Those are so pretty.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. Wow.
I've got tiny little star ones. Did you make these?
Yeah, and I brought tape just in case.
Oh my gosh. They're so great.
Oh my god, they're so cute.
They're so
cute. I have red fire ones, so we'll have to talk about which ones work better, but I love these.
You're welcome.
Little hearts with red,
so much.
White tassels. Do you know how to spin them? I learned this,
but I know you're supposed to.
You
bring your arms up, don't you?
Hold your arms up and then just bounce up and down.
Melody Bangler. She's got a cute little picture with the screaming chicken outfit.
That's so cute.
That is so sweet of you. Very unexpected.
Thank you. Can our listeners buy these anywhere? Because these are great and beautiful.
Email me at melody@screamingchicken.net and I do custom orders. So any shape or color, size.
And lots of other stuff too. And at our shows, of course.
And at our shows,
of course. Friday, there will be a huge amount available at our show.
Thank you so much.
That's really sweet. I'm so touched.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Too.
And actually, I will use these. I will inaugurate these on Saturday, which is why I'm a little bit disappointed that the show goes so late, just for myself, because I have to go to Sean Dimitri's show at the Waldorf and dance with friends that are expecting me to dance. And then at 11 a.m., I have to be for a full day of my first ever Becoming Burlesque. Not as cool as yours, I'm sure. But it's a one-day workshop on learning how to do burlesque and to be a burlesque dancer that I was invited to as a guest.
Is it Little Wu's?
Is that burlesque yoga?
That's at our studio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's Little Wu because she's a friend of mine, but she's also at the salon. But she does burlesque yoga. Idea. But I think that because I'm kind of a natural stripper and I'm kind of a natural performer, and she's like, Julia, will you just come and just like be like, you know, the model for what we want everyone else to be like, which is like stripping for fun and just being crazy and
to my class
wiggling
someday.
Your shit and doing the shimmy shimmy or whatever, which is what I call gush gush and I'm going to that. So I have to be like fresh and lively and do that for 7 hours on Saturday. So,
well, it's another fantastic one that's offered out of our studio. So lots
love
of great
Little
stuff.
Little Wu, she's
Little
awesome.
Little Wu's a good friend of ours. And
oh yeah, she's a good friend of mine too.
And she's a fantastic performer.
Yeah, she's great. So, and speaking of the salon, I would absolutely be honored and would love for you for Screaming Chicken in some way or form to be involved in the next salon, which is in September. So hopefully you'll be around for that. And it would be an honor to have one of you or all of you at the salon. All right. So, is there any other announcements there, Caroline?
Yes.
Oh, we're late.
We are late.
Uh-huh, quick.
Okay. There is the Miss Pole Dance Canada competition tomorrow at the, and that is at the Plaza, and I've actually got two of my students who are actually competing.
Oh, cool. Caroline's a pole dance instructor. So we hope you enjoyed tonight's show. We've gone over time. I need to be quick about this. Caroline and I will be back next week with another fresh and lively Juice Box. In the meantime, email us at julia@juiceboxradio.com. Stay tuned for Hans Claus's Misery Hour with Marianne coming up next on CITR.
He's a very sexy man to be miserable with.
He is. And let him guide you into the wee hours with his ambient collection of music and his super hot voice.
Thanks for listening to Juicebox Radio. Oh, I think, what did you say, Mary?
I love you.
You love us? We'll be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 p.m.
Just experience Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening. You're gonna have to give it to me.